Well, it's my great pleasure to welcome once again into the studio Amy Pettit for another edition of Ag Matters.
Good morning.
Good morning. And you have a guest.
I do have a guest this morning. It's my pleasure to have my friend and colleague, Misty Vanderweel, in the studio with me this morning. Good morning, Misty.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm so excited to have you here to talk about your flower farm, All Dahliaed Up.
Yeah.
Which I have so much fun saying that name. I had someone correct me the other day or give me their version. They said it's not Dahlia, Amy, it's Dahlia. And I was like, oh, okay, well, tomato, tomato, right?
Right.
Is that how you?
Yeah.
It goes either way, right?
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
Okay. Well, so before we jump all into Misty and Misty's farm, I just have a couple quick Ag Matters and Alaska Farmland Trust comments to make. Mike, I recognize this last week that we have now done over 20 shows of Ag Matters, which is pretty cool, right?
It is.
Yeah, we've covered a lot of incredible topics. And I just kind of wanted to throw out there and remind listeners why we launched Ag Matters. And the reason that Alaska Farmland Trust and myself wanted to do this show is to cover positive agriculture stories throughout the state. It seems like every once in a while folks get caught up in the negativity or old bad stories involving agriculture. And I am just a little fed up with that and thought there's so many positive good things going on in this industry all over the state. And so I have made a list of different things that I want to cover and topics and guests, et cetera. And I think we're still scheduled like 6 weeks out with future programs. So I'm super excited about that. I'd love to hear from listeners if you have other ideas of topics that we could cover. But that's why we do Ag Matters. That's why we're on the radio every week. And I hope folks are still enjoying it. So there we go. With that being said, let's jump right into All Dahliaed Up. And Misty, let's just start a little bit with your background. Farming is not new to you, but All Dahliaed Up is relatively new. So let's just start a little bit with your background.
Well, I like to say, which is true, I was raised by hippies.
Okay.
And we did our own, made our own soap, you know, built our own greenhouses. My parents built geodesic domes, and so our greenhouse matched. And I remember trying to make the most space of that dome and my dad hanging, you know, I guess flower pots from the rafters and trying to make that all work. So I was very resourceful.
Yeah.
And so I've always kind of been proud of that. That resourcefulness.
And in Alaska, right? Are you?
Yeah. In Alaska, in Big Lake.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah, I grew up there all my grade school years and then Willow, Alaska for my high school years.
Okay.
So that's kind of a little bit about that. We always had a home garden and that sort of thing. My very first job at 14 years old, besides babysitting, is I worked for Jacobson's Greenhouse in Wasilla.
Yeah.
And I actually got in trouble, is why I ended up being there to begin with.
Uh-oh.
But they really loved my work, and I took so much pride in it. That was my first time really digging in the dirt.
Okay.
And I loved it. And so I always, as a little girl even, would like transplant wildflowers to my fort. And, you know, so I always had that kind of that thought. So when I met Glenn Vanderweel 21 years ago, at first, I didn't want anything to do with him at all. And then I learned what he did, so I started calling him the potato guy because I could never remember his name.
Okay.
And then I visited the farm one day because he asked me to come, and believe it or not, I was born in the farm driveway. So when when Glenn asked me to come to his farm, I'm thinking, what is this? You know, he tells me where it is, and I'm like, I'll bring my birth certificate
because,
you know, right there on the Glenn Highway there.
Oh, wow.
So
I've never
February,
heard that part of the story.
Yeah. So that piqued my curiosity. I'm thinking, how cool is that, right?
Yeah.
And so we just started spending more time together, and I absolutely fell in love with the farm and him, obviously.
Sure.
And that whole lifestyle. And that's kind of how I started. I started working on the farm. When we first got together, the first few years that our daughter was young, we worked on the farm there, and I had my son at that point.
Sure.
And so, yeah, we were making a living there, and then it just got bigger. The farm got bigger. He started becoming a partner, as with his siblings as well, and we just started building a life.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what happened. And then how All Dahliaed Up started was when Glenn and I first got together, my son was in kindergarten.
Okay.
And a lot of people don't know, but he had Duchenne muscular dystrophy. And at that time, he was still walking pretty well. Okay. But we knew the diagnosis wasn't good. There's no cure for it.
Right.
And so when he brought home the first little spindly dahlia plant, I was really excited because of, but to that point, Glenn had been going out to the Sandvix and getting their bouquets of dahlias. They had their roadside stand.
Okay.
And you could pay for the honor system. And so I ended up falling in love with these flowers. And so my son was excited to bring this little spindly little dahlia plant to me. And I'm excited because at that point I grew some flowers and tried to grow some vegetables in the past. And so I didn't really have a whole lot of luck with that, but I could grow good house plants. So I tried and I made it survive. And so I asked Luke at that point, well, what color is this dahlia going to be? And he's like, I don't know. They just gave us seeds and we planted them. Well, what was really cool is that bloomed purple.
Okay.
That first dahlia, and purple is my very, very favorite color.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of this fortuitous, awesome thing. And then my father-in-law, Ben, he comes over and he's like, well, you know, Misty, dahlias grow tubers and you can divide them every year. And I'm thinking to myself, what an awesome thing to have for my son, no matter, you know, whenever he decided to pass on. And so it was just really kind of a gift that I gave myself. And I didn't really know how much of a gift, though, until he did pass.
Right. Right. Yeah. So you officially launched the farm, the All Dahlia'd Up part of the business, how many years ago?
This is my fourth season.
This is your fourth season.
Yep.
Yeah. And so so you started out with how many plants?
I started out with like 50.
Okay. And just the dahlias?
Yeah. And at that point, you know, I got a late start. So I'm thinking, oh, I'm just going to have to do this the next year. You know, well, I gave a bouquet away. And I sold every dang flower I could cut off those
right.
50 plants. And I, oh, man, the amount of blooms that came off those 50 plants, I'm still floored. And that was kind of where I got my feet wet. You know, I realized, you know, one plant could give me 50 to 100 stems in one summer, depending on when I planted it. And so that started piquing my interest. And so every year I doubled and doubled. And this year I quadrupled.
Really?
Yeah, I'm growing almost 1,000 dahlias this year.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
It is. It is. Went down to a cut flower growers conference, and I learned that with the space I have, I could triple my production. And, of course, Ben, my father-in-law, is always wanting, well, we're going to plant 40 acres. I'm like, no, that's not really what I want to do.
And you don't just grow the dahlias, right? You have other flowers
now,
too.
No, I grow heirloom sweet peas. And a lot of people, well, what's the difference? Heirloom sweet peas were the first ones that ever people started growing, and they're very large. As far as the bloom fits in the palm of your hand, and they grow real long stems. And so I decided to put that in there because they remind me of my grandmother.
Okay.
And actually end up being a very good combination. The sweet peas smell lovely, where dahlias don't really have a smell.
Right.
And which are, that they're good for, you know, people that have allergies and that sort of thing.
Sure.
But the sweet peas just add something to that. And now I'm starting to get known for my signature wedding bouquets with the dahlias and sweet peas mix.
Yeah.
And I've had 3 brides. I'll be doing their flowers this year.
Already?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Yep. They saw my bouquet that I did for an event, and they're like, we want that. And then, of course, my bouquet that I made for the state fair, blue ribboned. So I really want to bring those sweet peas back to Alaska as far as in weddings in particular, because they're in the top 10 wedding flower, they don't ship well.
Sure.
And so
delicate little petals, right?
Well, and I also grow sunflowers. I don't grow a lot of them, but people love them, and so I grow some of them. And then I'm actually trying 21 different flower varieties this season as testing and just see. And of those, I think 5 are not going to make the cut at this point.
But already?
Yeah, yeah. You just, I don't know. I just know. I don't know how I know, but
okay.
I know.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. And so, but my passion is the dahlias, and I love putting those sweet peas in there. It's lovely.
Yeah.
Just love it.
So it's May 3rd, right? So how long ago did you get started this season?
I started March 1st.
Okay.
And I started March 1st, and I learned that you can take cuttings from the dahlias. So I started doing that to propagate more because I knew I could put more in the space.
Okay.
And so I'm trying some of that and see how those go because I've heard the cuttings, their blooms aren't as stable.
Okay.
So we'll see.
As long. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll see.
So, dahlias are a perennial?
Correct, just not a perennial in Alaska.
Right. So what do you? What are you doing? Let's go into that a little bit. Are you digging up the tubers every fall?
Yes, it's insane. Yes, I'm digging them all up.
Wow.
And
storing them in cold storage.
Yeah.
Putting them to sleep for the winter.
They have to know. They get a couple frosts first, and then you dig them up and you dry them out, and you can either divide them then, or you can wait till the spring when they start seeing the eyes, where you can divide them.
That is so much work.
It really is. And there's also the element where you don't have to dig them up. You can buy new tubers every year.
You could.
Or plants or whatever. Yeah.
So is there any possibility that with like a certain amount of mulching or covering or like, is it ever going to work to overwinter them, you think?
No. There is no possible way unless, you know, nobody's done this before, but I always think hoop houses and all of that stuff. But sure. I've had enough experience growing over the last 20 years, the dahlias, and trying a lot to try to keep them alive. They're just so, that first frost, they're all gone.
Okay.
They're all gone. And then if that tuber freezes, it's done.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like a potato. Once it freezes, it's the same thing.
Okay. Interesting. So you're digging them all up, labeling them all, putting them away, and then
so this up to this year it's been relatively easy. Well, 1,000 dahlias, that might be a little trickier, but I have some thoughts. And of course I'm married into one of the biggest farming families.
Absolutely.
And so I'm sure we can come up with something to dig up those babies.
So they're started now, I assume, in pots.
Yep.
And when do you hope to get in the ground with them?
With the temperature like it's been, I could put them in the ground and cover at night right now.
Okay.
But I have to wait my turn for the tiller. But also, the longer they can stay in the greenhouse here this next couple weeks, it is really better for them.
Oh, okay. Just gives them a better start.
Yeah, just I'm anxious and I have a ton to do. And it's like, I want to get this done.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
I bet. That's awesome. So I want to remind listeners that on Ag Matters this morning, we are talking to Misty Vanderweel from All Dahlia'd Up, a flower farm here in Palmer. And okay, so let's talk about how people can find out more. If we've piqued their interest about these flowers, where can they go to find more, to see pictures, to learn about buying your flowers, et cetera?
Well, they can go to alldahliaedup.com or my name, mistyvanderweel.com. I'm on all the social media.
You are.
Facebook. I'm really big on Instagram. I do a little bit on Pinterest, but Facebook and Instagram are my jams. And so they can find out more.
Which I would highly encourage people to follow your page because the pictures are so beautiful. It's such a nice breath of beautiful fresh air when you see your pictures. So you do a great job.
I love doing it. And yeah, that was kind of a side thing. Hey, I'm pretty good taking these pictures.
Yeah. Okay. So then we can go on your website and look at the pretty flowers. But what if we want to have your flowers? What if listeners want to, how can they come shop or buy?
Oh my goodness. Well, there's several ways. You can call up between July and the first frost and say, hey, I'd like a bouquet delivered wherever.
Okay.
And I can work with you or meet up with you. I'm at the Monday markets at the depot, most Mondays.
When will you start there, you think?
Definitely in July, but I'm going to try to push a little sooner than that, but definitely July. And let's see, you can become a part of my flower subscription program. It's kind of like a vegetable CSA where you get a weekly delivery of flowers, bouquet, where I switch out after that to mostly businesses. That makes it pretty easy to just go into their business and swap out their flowers. I already have Turkey Red, you know, the Red Beet, Lavender Hair Salon, and keep going. So that's a really awesome way. And then I also have flower farm tours and workshops where you can come have dinner in my dahlias and you can make your own bouquet to take home.
Yeah.
And you get the tour and the sneak peek on the backside of the Vanderweel Farm.
Yeah.
And then
I did that with my, we didn't do one of the tours. The girls and I did your open house day where we made a flower crown.
Yep.
Yeah, which
we'll
was
be
a
doing
lot of
that
fun.
Again. That was a lot of fun. Yeah,
but the farm tour is a step up from that, right?
Oh, it definitely is. I had two last year; it completely sold out. So I added. I'm doing four this year. One of which is actually an all day flower intensive that you can come do four flower projects.
Oh, wow!
You know, have a little more leisure time walking through the flowers, and by all means, take pictures and share them. And that's the fun part, is playing in the flowers.
Yeah,
and for me too, it's magical even for me. And then you get, you know, I really, really believe in Alaska grown. And so I have caterers come in that use our vegetables, all Alaska grown products. And my flowers. So it's just a good combination and a way to educate people on Alaska grown.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So I assume those workshop dates, farm tour dates and costs and all that, is that all on your website
all
already?
All on my website.
Okay, very good. So if people are interested, they should jump on that because I know all of them sold out last year.
Yeah, and the July 29 one is Ladies Night, and I think there's only two tickets left. So.
Oh, wow. People better get on that.
Yeah, so I have, make them small. The groups only take 16 at a time.
Okay.
And to keep it, you know, intimate and private and fun.
Yeah. Very good. Mm-hmm. And so you mentioned that you are already booked for a couple of brides, a couple of weddings this summer. But do you have room for more if there are brides looking for flowers?
I do. It depends on their date.
Sure.
I don't want to book my whole summer with weddings, which I possibly, I mean, really, really could.
Yeah.
I didn't get into it, believe it or not, to even do one wedding. And I kind of dipped my toe in a funny way and decided, like, actually, I really, really enjoy it.
Yeah.
But it takes it to a different level.
Oh, my goodness.
But this year, what's new for us at All Dahlia'd Up is I'm working with florists.
Oh.
I'll be working with five florists.
Very good.
Yeah, and possibly six. So
cool. Are you able to tell us who? I know sometimes that stuff is, you can't release that kind of information.
Yeah, not until contracts are signed stuff. I don't want to put anybody on the spot just in case that, you know, wires got crossed or something.
Sure.
But
sure.
Yeah, there's three there in Anchorage and a couple out here. So
that's incredible. That was actually going to be one of my questions, is if there's been any florists expressed interest in the local flowers.
My first season out, Bogoy's florist, they're like, can we get flowers from you? And I'm like, I'm selling everything I have. I can't do that. And then last year, and there was just no way. I didn't have enough production for that. And I'm not going to sell at real wholesale prices.
Sure.
So if they want Alaska grown flowers, you know, it's a lot of work for me. I mean, I'm going to make them a good deal, but definitely I want Alaska grown flowers in all of our florist shops.
Yeah.
I know some of the peony growers have broken into cars, which is awesome. I think that's incredible. And then, there's a lot of local florist interest in locally grown. I think Alaska grown is starting to become a little more known.
Yeah.
And more and more florists want to get on board with that. And a lot of bouquet makers, too. We have a lot of event planners around here, too.
We do. Yeah.
There's a lot, and they're really pushing for that, too.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I'm so glad to hear that. That's really, really good to see that support. You know, oftentimes on this show and just in general, when people think about Alaska grown, they're thinking about the food that they eat. But, you know, flowers are an important part of the economy as well. And as they say, they are recession proof, right? That people still buy chocolate and flowers and alcohol, even during a recession.
Well,
you find that to be true?
Yes, it's very, very true. Because, you know, unfortunately, there's always people, they pass away and there's always celebration.
Yeah.
No matter if there's a recession or not, and babies are always born and birthdays still come around. And that's what you go to, flowers. And, you know, I like to say that, you know, vegetables feed the body, flowers feed the soul.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah. I love that whole thing.
Yeah. In high school, I had the pleasure of working in a flower shop in my hometown. And it was one of the most fun jobs that I ever had because no one is ever disappointed for the flower delivery, right?
Nope.
It just lights up people's day.
Lady.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Oh, that reminds me of a funny story. The other day, someone was asking about a greenhouse to go to, and I was trying to explain to them where your brother-in-law and sister-in-law's new greenhouse is, Fresh Start Farms. And she goes, oh yeah, no, I've been there. And I said, you haven't? She goes, yeah, I was there last year. And I was like, well, it wasn't open last year. She's like, yeah, no, the flower lady. I've been there. And I was like, no, actually, that's another Vanderwheel that's doing a different business. But it was real funny. She definitely remembered her time on your farm.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, very good. Okay, so you mentioned that's the next step for this year is that you're going to be in some floral shops, which is incredible. But what else is on the horizon? What else is in your future?
That I have so many different directions I could go.
Yeah.
In a position where sky's the limit.
Absolutely.
It really is. And so now it's just testing what I really want to do and what I want to say. You know, when I first started this, my energy wasn't what it is now. I had just lost my son. So that grief was very taxing on me. So I didn't want to take on too much.
Yeah.
And I also have a habit of that taking on too much, and then I can't do it all, and then I'm upset with myself. So, so basically, I've been attending grower schools and learning all about flowers and not just dahlias, and to see where that goes. And of course, I mean, we have the unique position we're in Alaska, our season is a lot shorter.
Yeah.
And so those are some fun challenges to try to think outside the box and sure. try to make that all work. Maybe some hoop houses in the future. Yeah. So we'll just have to see because yeah. I love the outside growing.
Yeah. I think that, would you agree or disagree with this? I think that because of our incredibly short growing season, Alaskans are more into their yards and their flowers and their hanging baskets and things. Do you find that to be true?
They're either that way or the other way, that they have like gravel over their yard.
Okay. Yeah, fair enough. I when I see the time and effort and work that some people, some Alaskans put into their yards and their houseplants and things, I just think, you know, it must be due to that intensely long winter that we all survive, and that when spring finally hits, it's just, you know, such a big deal.
I think that is part of it. Yeah. But I wrote a book this winter called Flower Power, and I'd been asked to speak at a local women's business summit.
Okay.
And I wanted to talk all about my flowers. So I was writing this outline about how the flowers have healed me and impacted me. And,
absolutely.
You know, and that's why I called it Flower Power. And so I, when I was doing that research, I realized we are soul connected to our environment and to the things that grow, and yeah. they're meant to be here for to help us. Yeah. Whether it's medicinal, food, you know,
visual,
exactly.
Yeah.
And and that kind of coincides, our winters are so dark. And so
yeah.
it's nice to have that green and everything grows so much bigger here and more
absolutely.
Vibrant. The colors are just outstanding. You take any tourist off the street in July, when you ask them, oh my gosh, the colors, the flowers,
yeah.
you know, you hear that.
Yeah. Absolutely. I agree. Yeah, I just so happened to get my hands on that book over the weekend, and I'm so excited to read it. Just the photographs by themselves are so beautiful.
That's
so.
What's really, really cool. They have a thing called flower therapy where there are some therapists are bringing in florals to help you get through certain issues. And every color and every shape has their own unique
oh,
kind
wow.
of signature. And so I've been doing
it.
Some studying on that too. And it's really fascinating.
Yeah. So what are some of the, you mentioned that you are trying new varieties. So can you tell us about any of the flowers that you're trying out for the first time on the farm this summer?
Well, yes, I can. I'm looking at some flowers that are dryables.
Oh, okay.
There are florists looking for dryables. And, of course, I do like to do some of the markets around town and things like that. So I think it'd be beautiful to have some dryable flowers.
Yeah.
But what really intrigued me in flowers that you can keep cutting all summer long, that you
okay.
don't just plant once and then you got to plant again and again.
Yeah.
Our season is so short. I'm a one-woman show, basically.
Yeah.
This year I will be bringing on some help for the busy parts. But yeah, so I'm focusing on that. So I'm learning all about flowers that you can do that with.
Yeah.
So I'll be testing some of those.
Fun.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. So I want to remind folks that if they are interested in learning more about this flower farm here in Palmer, that they can visit your website, which is All Dahlia'd Up, which we might just want to spell that out for people just so we're sure.
Okay, it's ALLDAHLIADUP.
Okay, All Dahlia'd Up. Mm-hmm. And you're very active on social media, which
yes.
is great. So people can find you there too. And there's workshops that people can attend and flower subscriptions. You can get a bouquet every week.
And you also, if you don't want to do any of that yet, you can try my newsletter. I publish a newsletter
yeah.
magazine 10 months out of the year.
Okay.
And it's a magazine format.
Okay. And what all is included in there? Is that, you know, growing information?
There's some growing information, stuff I've learned, things I've run up against that have been a problem, lots of pictures. You know, I love the photography end of it. So you see lots and lots of pictures. I'm always open for suggestions for the newsletter magazine. I call it that because it's newsletter. It's a newsletter, but it is a magazine format. So
oh, okay.
you can, you know, kind of flip through the pages and see what that's all about. And, you know, I just pretty much tell everything I'm doing.
Yeah. So that just piqued my interest. What is your number one pest? Do you have to deal with moose with your flowers?
Actually, I have not had to deal with moose
not
in the summertime. They don't seem to be interested in my dahlias, but, you know, right next door they have, you know, they have cabbage and kale and they have broccoli and cauliflower. They could care less
about
my flowers.
Okay.
They love the sweet pea vines in the winter.
Okay.
Because that's, some, you know, some, but I don't usually have a problem with them.
Well, that's good.
I'm just say usually because
you never heck, know, right?
You can never say never.
Right.
So when you do.
Yeah.
But my number one pest, I would say, between the aphids, thrips, or slugs.
Oh, okay.
Slugs, yeah. They can be a pain in the rear. But they have this wonderful natural product called Slug-O. So okay. If anybody's having problems with slugs, it's a product called Slug-O. It's granular. I saw it in all the stores last year. I haven't seen it this year, but you can order it on Amazon.
Okay.
It doesn't hurt your pets, doesn't hurt nothing.
Oh, okay.
That's and so, yeah.
And with the aphids and the thrips, do you bring in ladybugs?
I did last year. It was really fun. Yeah. Oh my gosh, it was so fun. There's an issue though. Once you bring the ladybugs in and they eat everything up, they fly on. So you got to keep adding them.
Yeah.
And up until this point, I've done pretty much all just natural things on my plants. I'm out there in them. That's kind of important to me.
Sure.
But when you start, larger production, you're only one person. And so sometimes you have to bring in some stuff. But us Alaskans, we don't have a lot of bugs up here to deal with. So
we're very lucky.
Very, very lucky.
I don't think people realize that with flowers that are coming in from the outside, how many chemicals are on those flowers to keep the bugs off of them.
That, and then to keep them fresh, they'll spray the heck out of them with all kinds of chemicals.
Yeah. Yeah, another benefit of locally grown. So, Misty, it always amazes me how fast this half an hour buzzes by, but our time is almost up. So any closing thoughts or final things that you want to throw out there before we're done with our time this morning?
Well, the only thing I can really think of is if you have a flower passion, get to growing those flowers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just grow as many as you can.
Yeah.
Visit all the local nurseries. Buy local. I mean, that's the biggest thing for me.
And if you're like me and you have brown thumbs, just enjoy the hard work of these farmers that are here in the valley.
And there's that too. I won't complain.
Yeah.
I loved the Division of Ag director. He went down and went to Alaska Stems yesterday, and I'd met her my first season.
Rachel,
and she's grown so much, and I'm just so proud to have that starting here, and because her and I see the magic of it, and it is hard work, but it's just so fulfilling. It's so neat to see other growers wanting to bring flowers into Alaska.
Yeah. Well, we're so thankful for the work that you're doing. And thanks so much for joining me on Ag Matters this morning. I really enjoyed it. I can't wait to see some flowers.
It's fun. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you, Amy Pettit, for coming in again.
You bet.
With a guest to talk dahlias. Any comments about the flowers we have here on our window?
They're beautiful.
I've been staring at them as I'm talking. I really enjoy them. But I don't know who's been painting these, but I love them up and down the street.
That's Audra. Audra. Audra does those, and they are wonderful. We invite people to come by and take a look.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you. Thank you for coming in, and we'll be back next week with another edition of Ag Matters.